Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, chinuch, and different parts of our life, how to become better people, how to influence the world, our families, our friends, etc. What a week. What a week we've had in South Africa, in Johannesburg, and specifically in the Jewish community. And while Jews all over the world are mourning and crying, this is the roughest time of the year for us, the 9 days, I can definitely say that this year, with the huge tragedy that we lost at the end of the week, our dear friend Chaim Sarchi, I'm sure you all know and all aware what an impact a young man could have on the community. There's been so many tears, and you know, if there's any time, appropriate time to have these amount of tears is in the 9 days, is when we are mourning and in suffering and in pain over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, loss of Jerusalem, going to exile, and all the way till our private pain and sorrow as a community with the horrific loss that we went through. In order to kind of make sense of all of this, I've asked specifically for a rabbi from Eretz Yisrael that has been on the show before. And as you know, generally we don't have that many people for a second time or a third time. However, I think we're going to have more and more times. I've asked Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss. He is the member of the Chief Rabbinical Community Council of Israel. He's the chief rabbi of the big city of Bnei Brak. And I say big, I think big, and also in quantity, but definitely in quality of rabbis and Torah leading leaders. And just to hear a bit, to talk a bit for the beginning of the show, for the first part of the show, I want to talk with the rabbi about the horrific days that we're in, the 9 days, what it means to us, how do we impact that, how do we live that all the way until, I'm not aware, I don't know how much the rabbi is aware, but I will share with the rabbi that as the Jewish community in Joburg, we've lost a very special young father who had a huge impact on the community. We were all davening for last few weeks, and unfortunately he passed away. And yeah, lots of pain and lots of tears, and let's connected to these days. Good afternoon, Rabbi Weiss. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. And as you know, we say Benchamat Zion v'Yerushalayim. We comfort people saying they should be comforted together with Zion in Yerushalayim. Whenever we go to a mourner's house, and it's very sad to hear their terrible news, and it's part and parcel of the great sadness of the Jewish people we all feel during this time of the year.
Let's start.
Condolences and chachamim to
the family. Amen. Thank you. And to all the different community organizations that he was part of, Hatzalah and different parts. Rabbi, I want to start in discussing kind of a bit about the 9 days and the days we're in and the days of sorrow, and more from a traditional family space. What is the message that we are going through and we want to start bringing into our homes and sharing with our children and our families about our legacy and about what we lost? Or maybe we could even start with, what did we lose?
Well, what we lose, as we all know, we commemorate the destruction of the first temple, first Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash on the 9th of Av. But that's only the beginning. The tragedies that the Jewish people have suffered throughout their history are often connected with the ninth of Av. They all happened, many of them happened on the 9th of Av, particularly in our days, in our recent history. If you go back let's go back to the Middle Ages, the expulsion of Jews from England was in the 9th of Av. The great expulsion of the Jews from Spain, Girush Sfarad, was also on the 9th of Av, which changed the whole world.
Yeah, we
we're
having a bit of trouble on the connection.
And the first will.
So I just, Rabbi, just as the rabbi is speaking, just to share that. The different challenges that we had, the rabbi was speaking right before, we kind of, the connection started compromises. Craig is fixing it. We always rely on Craig. You know, the different tragedies that happened all around these dates. And the rabbi mentioned, in England and about Gerus Sfarad. And yeah, I think I can hear the rabbi. Can the rabbi hear us? No. Okay. We did lose the connection. Hopefully that connection will come back, which is exactly what we're mourning these days, the loss of our connection and the loss of the ability to be all in tune and be here with our legacy. And I think the rabbi is back with us. Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss is here. We're speaking about the losses and the tragedies that we've gone through in nations, particularly around these days of the 9th of Av, which is coming up this Wednesday night, Thursday. And tragedies of impact that we've had as a nation through these difficult period of around the year. So, Rabbi, can you hear
us?
You
know.
Yeah.
Yes. So many. The First World War, the decision, the final solution of the Jews in Germany. That was all on the 9th of Av, and I don't know whether deliberate.
Yeah, so we're having real
shows these days, but I do think that our enemies, the message.
Rabbi, I think we're going to have to get back to the rabbi and reconnect and you know, get back to this interview, as I think it's extremely important things to discuss, saying that it really is, you know, something we do need to speak about as we go through these horrific days. And really, Tisha B'Av, you know, we tend to say many times whenever we have a tzar and whenever we have pain, that's it, Moshiach has to come, which Moshiach does have to come. And we do need to step out of the galus. However, not necessarily because of a specific pain that we're going through. Saying that, we do see that the source of everything, of our loss, is being so distant and far from the heart of our nation, which was the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, was the heart of our nation, was where we all came around and served Hashem together and connected together. And seeing the lack of it and seeing where we are that we don't have, and we don't have that connection. We don't have the ability to be within our natural place and natural home and natural positioning, which is in the temple, in our connection and beautiful relation and relationship and special relationship with Hashem, then we really are lost as a nation. And definitely all the tragedies that we're seeing consistently with all the tears and everything that is going on. So as we are connecting, we are going to have quite a busy show. I mean, after the rabbi, we will be speaking also about one of the recent tragedies that happened within the Jewish nation, and that was also started the day after Tisha B'Av. What Tisha B'Av already was a big part of it is I'm talking about the expel of Jews out of Gaza Strip, out of Gush Katif, and we're going to be speaking with the spokesman of the Museum of Gush Katif shortly. In the meantime, we will see a bit about what we have gone in the tragedies. However, saying that, we do know that the one of the biggest tragedies we have as a nation is also that it's been affecting us personally, and everybody has their own personal relationship with their tragedies. And speaking to so many people throughout the community about what we're going through and with such a loss, I actually will take this opportunity and say if anybody has anything they want to share, any memory or any point of their personal tragedies, their personal need for Moshiach, their personal need of stress and pain and what we're going through, 34519 is the SMS line. or Telegram 061-895-1019, your freedom message. And I'd love to hear some of the messages, some of the painful things from the moments, even memories about Chaim Sarchi, or anything that you have to share and say about anything. Please send it in. It is not a regular show today. We are talking about the tragedies. We are here about the 9 days, the tragedies of the Jewish nation, going to Golus, being expelled, losing our place and identity. We do need to continue with a break, and when we come back, we'll continue, hopefully, this discussion.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9, Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back here. I'm here with Rabbi Weiss. Right before the break, we did lose our connection and the difficulty of connecting, but the rabbi was speaking about not only Tisha B'Av being the beginning of tragedies and the beginning of the challenges, but throughout history, seeing how so many of the challenges of the Jewish nation on a communal level, on a group level, was happening around these times. And even we'd say that all tragedies, I'd say, somehow have that connection to the state and the place that we are in. So Rabbi, thank you for making that, for defining the way back to our to this discussion. So if we can continue, we lost the rabbi pretty much when we were speaking about Gerus Sfarad and those times in history.
Well, what I said is, as we all know, that so many tragedies happen at this time of the year, and this is why Tisha B'Av is not only a day of remembering, sad day of remembering the destruction of the temples, which of course was the beginning of all our tzarot, or our difficulties and tragedies, but we try and we don't have many memorial days for the many, many awful things that happened to us, and everything we try to include in this day of Tisha B'Av, this 25-hour fast of Tisha B'Av. So we have a special book, as we all know, called Kinot. Kinot are elegies. Kinot are poems, prayers of reminding us of the terrible things that happened. And if you could take a kinot, and it's very difficult to understand the language because it's medieval and poetic, etc. But if you take a kinot, and you read about each and every one of them, they're all about different terrible tragedies that happened to the Jewish people. I don't know if you know, in Sweden, a few weeks ago, there was a plan to burn a Bible, in front of the Israeli embassy, and I wrote on behalf of the chief rabbinate a letter to the king of Spain, to the king of Sweden, and I reminded him that in the 1242, the 24 carriages of Jewish books were destroyed, burnt in the center of Paris, because people thought they could destroy the people of the book who'd survived the destruction of the temple by burning their books. And so we've lost so much from all these terrible tragedies. And I quoted Henry Heine was a German, although he was a convert from Judaism, but he says he who begins with burning books will burn people, and that's exactly what happened in Germany. That's
exactly what
happened. So it happened in Germany, yes. And we have to be so very, very careful to respect the other person, to respect the different. You know, there's a dislike of the unlike, and we mustn't do so. And this, in particular, it speaks not about Jews and non-Jews as well, Jews and fellow Jews. We have to find the common denominator. The rabbis say that the real reason for the destruction of the temple was the sinat chinam, the dislike for no reason. People didn't get on with each other. And even at the time when the Romans were sieging Jerusalem, they had internal fights. And we must be very, that's what we can do. We can't tell other people.
Which is, which is fascinating, because a lot of times people will think that they have all the reasons in the world. However, in perspective and looking back, it seems like it was over nonsense. And the challenges we have between each other are the lack of understanding per se of that we are special and we have what we need from Hashem directly, or where would that come in today when we talk about the dislike for no reason between communities and between each other and between ourselves?
Yeah, that is the lesson for us. I mean, obviously we complain when the others dislike us, but we have to make better ourselves. We have to better ourselves. And this is the time where we should try and find the points that join us together. And we're living, you know, today in Israel, a very difficult time at the present moment. There's campaigns for the government, against the government, and people seem to forget that, God forbid, that we're so privileged to be able to do these massive demonstrations. We should be so thankful for what we have, and we should count our blessings. And this is what people have to do. And we should develop connections, as you mentioned before. We have to connect to each other. This is the time of the year before this big fast, a couple of days on Thursday, when we should do our best to connect with other people, to show them, to be gracious to them, to say a word of kindness, to realize that we're not always right. Perhaps we're wrong. And even if we are right, people are entitled to their own opinion. We must live together.
Yeah. Rabbi, as we're running out of time already of speaking, I have one question I still need to ask the rabbi. How do we give in maybe shortly, how do we speak to our young children, our generation, and tell them about the loss and the pain, something that maybe kids can connect to when it comes to the loss and the tragedy that happened on these days? Is there any formula or way that the rabbi would recommend?
I don't know a formula. It's very sad. You can see that even in Israel, the people, a generation beyond the Holocaust, are forgetting about what happened. I know my grandchildren last week, they went to Poland, they went to visit the camps. It's very difficult to explain when we're living in such a wonderful society, how difficult things could have been and could be. To count our blessings is the most difficult thing. I think it's very important, wherever people are, to come to Israel, to see Jerusalem, see the holy sites, and see what was and what could have been, to see the places which weren't so happy. I would, in South Africa, you could even take your children to see the communities that have died out and to tell them of the stories of how they got there. And the fact that Jews throughout the world sing the same songs and say the same prayers for the restoration of Jerusalem is a remarkable thing. Who could have believed? You know that the story of Napoleon walked around, was wandering in Paris, and he saw, in the middle of the week, and he saw tremendous amounts of Jews sitting on the floor outside the synagogue. And he says, what are they doing? He says, what are they doing? What are they sitting on the floor? And he said, they're crying for the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. He says, when did it happen? Well, I don't remember it. They said, no, 2,000 years ago. And he said, people who remember the destruction of their temple 2,000 years ago will live on forever. And it's our duty to try and live on forever. And to teach our history. You have to teach history. People are not teaching history so much. It is the family history. Because if we all look back to our grandparents and great-grandparents, there's a tremendous story of survival.
Yeah, and please, God, Rabbi, with these words, it will be history, and by hopefully this Tisha B'Av already, we will be all celebrating the restructuring, the rebuild of the Beis HaMikdash, and coming together and being able to reunite and connect to our nation, our land, our people, and be back on track with our relationship and connection with Hashem. Thank you, Rabbi.
I just wanted to say, you know, that it's a hard fast day, like Yom Kippur. And yet, in midday, on the middle of the fast day, we lessen things. And it's called, Tisha B'Av is not only a fast, it's called Moed. Moed is a festival. We look forward to being a festival. And we thank God that all these destructions, we are still here. So we should thank God for the blessings that we have.
Amazing, and we have to do see that. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was really a privilege with all the challenges. We got to do it, and I'm sure we will be speaking further on the show again. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Thank you. That was Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss that we speak to and speaking just about understanding these days. And yeah, I mean, as much as we understand the pain and structure and going through the tragedies that we have, as the Jewish nation, as what we're struggling with, we are going from there, from the discussion of, you know, the previous times, the beginning of the challenges by losing the temples, although it started already in the desert, with the spies, and I'm sure you all are aware and all know, and if not, is definitely something to learn about and to understand and to know. However, from here, we're going to our, we're going to have to go to our next discussion, and a bit of understanding about our next discussion. We're going to be speaking to Avner Franklin. Avner Franklin is the, he's a tour guide at the Gush Katif Museum, and we're going to be speaking a bit about what happened. So just to give from, you know, why it was so important, and I think we need to understand what the story is with Gush Katif. 18 years ago, I'll never forget from a personal side of things, I'll never forget that Tisha B'Av sitting in a time that you felt nothing's going to be the same again. And in a way, nothing was the same again. I was, you know, to share that angle, I was sitting with my grandfather. Should rest in peace. My grandfather was going through heart surgery at the time, and I was with him in the hospital. And in the hospital, while he was preparing for surgery in Tisha B'Av, we were seeing on TV the army and the police and everybody marching into Gush Katif in order to evacuate. If I remember correctly, about 8,000 or more families out of Gush Katif and thousands of other Jewish people that were there and at the time, and being pulled out of their houses, pulled out of their area, and handed over. That was when Israel handed over Gaza and the north of Samaria to the Palestinians. And since then, we didn't really have quiet and peace with them, but they did get it handed over as a gift with the destruction of homes and houses and communities, which was a tragedy that I think haunts until today. It's a big conflict within the Jewish nation, although 18 years with history is not that much of a time span. However, it's been a long time, and for a lot of people, it's been a lot of pain and a lot of tragedy. And I think that we need to understand and we need to remember that connection, especially in the light of the days of that we're going through now, that our families and friends in Israel are experiencing. It's rough days. It's rough days between the communities. It's rough days between having peace with everybody. And we need to remember. We need to remember what we're going through, remember who we are, remember our history, remember what there is that we need to connect and understand. So, right before we go into this interview, obviously, if there's anything you want to add, if you have any memories from Gush Katif, if you have any memories about that Tisha B'Av, that year, 18 years ago, 34519 is the SMS line. Anything you'd like to share, Telegram 061-895-1019. That is the Telegram line. And yeah, I think just share from our perspective in what we've seen, what we've known. You know, we can connect a lot to historical events. However, some of the events we heard about completely. Some of the events, if we look at the recent years, then we could have experienced. And then there's also events that we heard from our grandparents and our great grandparents of different tragedies and challenges that we've gone through as a nation. And anybody that does have a perspective or something that we can connect and can see, it's something that we need to learn about and we need to know and we need to share these memories and thoughts, especially as we need to bring, our people together when it comes into that connection. So we are going to get shortly into this discussion with the spokesman from the Museum of spokesman or tour guide from the Museum of Gush Katif, which Gush Katif, for those of us who are not familiar, as I said, was the whole Jewish settlement in the in Gaza Strip that was completely evacuated 18 years ago, with thousands and thousands of families, big communities, a beautiful place to be, to visit. People used to be, it was really a very live place. Actually, one of the big things that I remember, we all remember from as, when it comes from, that area was just even the agriculture development and everything around that, that made a huge impact on, the society and what we use and how we use. However, instead of hearing my thoughts and memories, let's go to the expert. And I'm here, as I said, here in the show, in the studio with Avner, who is a tour guide from the Museum of Gush Katif. Avner Franklin, good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so for those of our listeners who are not familiar with the concept of Gush Katif, give us in two words, what was Gush Katif? What is the story of Gush Katif that we need to address and we are commemorating today?
Okay, as a result of the Six-Day War, we got into our hands an area called Gush Katif, which is known also as the Gaza Strip. Why do we call it Gush Katif? Gush is a block of settlements that we built there. We built 22 settlements, and Katif is a Hebrew of picking fruits, to pick. That's symbolic of the unbelievable success that we had in the agricultural field over there for 30 years. That's why we call the place Gush Katif. We moved in there around about 1977. We started building two new settlements. One was called Ganeta, one was called Netzach Hazani. And within a short time, with the help of God, obviously, because we do believe that we were blessed by God, because it's part of the borders of what was the land of Israel, as given by God. And with a lot of our own efforts, of course, we turned the place from a total desert into a beautiful Garden of Eden, which it was. And you can go into any Google and have a look, and you'll be able to see that indeed that's what happened. We turned from a Garden of Eden from a desert into a beautiful Garden of Eden. And we were there for 30 years. After 30 years, the government decided to withdraw from there. And
that's what we're going to speak about.
Of Ariel Sharon.
Right. So we do need to take a short break, but that's exactly what we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, that's exactly what we need to speak about. Actually, the 18 years ago, the destroying of that whole part of settlements and everything we lost over there, and that horrible tragedy that is painful for many people that are still living it on day-to-day lives. And, you know, especially comes the days of Tisha B'Av, not only that symbolically it started a day after, it's part of our tradition of challenges throughout those days of and what we're going through as a nation. So we will take a short back and continue and hear about what we need to remember and connect to.
High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 High FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back. And right before the break, we started a discussion with Avner Franklin, who is a tour guide at the Gush Katif Museum. And we heard about the beauty and the flourishing and the accomplishment in a very short time that they had in Gush Katif. And now let's talk about a bit about the pain and loss. What happened 18 years ago in that part of land of Israel?
In the year 2004, Ariel Sharon, who was the Prime Minister of Israel, at a conference in Herzliya, gave a decision, government decision, to leave Gush Katif. And he gave three reasons. There was a local pressure, there was international pressure, and he thought he could control the terrorism from without, which didn't work out like that at all. The government decided to leave the area. They broke down all the houses. There were 8,500 people living there. approximately about 2,000 families. They left the place. They broke down the houses. People were moved out and sent to hotels in the time being. It was a very, very trying period. People went through very, you know, big psychological problems. People lost their houses. People lost their profession, their parnasa, their profession, because they did not have the farms anymore. They could not start that again. Children went through a very, very difficult time. And the soldiers and the police who had to do the work as well also went through a hard time. It was a very, very trying time for the nation of Israel and for many people.
I remember.
And that's what we went through.
Is that so? I remember the nights of the evacuations, and I remember being in Israel at the time, going to the Kotel together, the Western Wall together with the whole nation almost, and watching families and families and thousands of youngsters and people that suddenly became overnight refugees, suddenly lost everything they had overnight. Yes, there were hotels and mid-time living. What, I know it's 18 years, but 18 years could also be a short time. What is happening to the people that were evacuated then today? Have they, has anything been established? Are people carrying that pain and in affecting their lives still today? Where are we standing today with that pain and disaster that they went through?
Look, the pain and the disaster psychologically can never be paid for. They had a lot of the remunerations. There was remuneration. They paid them out. People lived in a temporary life in the meantime, and families went through very difficult times. Like we said before, they were paid out by the government. Eventually, there was a break in communication between the government and the settlers who were there. Eventually, what did happen is they were paid out. They spent. They were meant to spend a couple of nights in a hotel. It ended up being a year even. And that was the situation. Today, thank God, Israel is a strong nation. Israel is a strong nation. People have been resettled in all their homes. Most of the people have been resettled in their homes. Big concentration of people have gone to Yad Ben Yamin, which is near Ashdod. A lot of people went to Nitzan. And today, most of the people have reestablished themselves. But again, the psychological problem that people went through has never got over it, and it's still there today. And we have to learn from this that, you know, what do we learn from Gush Katif, what really happened? It's very symbolic as well that the dates that they made for Gush Katif, for the leaving Gush Katif was Mamash on Tisha B'Av, which we, you know, it's a day of mourning for the temple of destruction. And there was really destruction there as well. So our busy time in our museum is basically around the time of Tisha B'Av, which is now, when we're very, very busy, and also on the day of Tisha B'Av. But thank God the nation is strong and people all, you know, carried on with their lives. But we should just never forget what happened there, and we should never get into that situation again where people in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel, are banished from their houses.
It's you know, we're speaking on and in the background we know that in our hearts, and maybe it looks worse from far, that Israel currently today is in a very difficult position that has been ripped into two parts of the nation, that each one believes that they're losing their land and losing their country and losing their place. How do we actually take this lesson from Gush Katif and get ourselves? And, you know, it's not, we're talking from abroad to Israel. However, maybe we would love to hear as the people living outside of Israel, but are very close on every level, emotionally and physically to Israel, what is our role in what's happening today in managing, you know, the lessons that we've learned?
Look, what is happening today at the moment, now they're voting in the Knesset to pass the law of, there's the law of, you know, whether it's, you can decide that it's not really, you know, not really applicable to do certain laws. Right. And today there's a problem. They're voting on the law today, whether to pass it or not. country at the moment now is quite split, and it's not, you know, and also symbolic of the fact that it's Tisha B'Av as well. I firmly believe, and we do at Gush Katif believe as well, that we have to have, we have to be in a position where the government can decide on certain things. And the high courts, you know, have been in a position where they've been able to do what they really want to do. Then they have the veto over a lot of things. But a lot of people feel today that the court system has to change slightly. And that's what we're going through. A lot of people feel the court system hasn't to be changed. And that's what we're going through as well. So there really is a split in the nation. And please God, they'll vote, and please God, we'll carry on living, and, you know, Am Yisrael will live together and carry on living peacefully. And that's my prayer, that it'll be like that.
Yeah, please God, we're really hoping. We do need to take a short break, and I'm going to ask you to stay with me for 2 more minutes. I could see how busy everything is around, and we're seeing the museum. However, as right. South Africans that come quite a lot to Israel, I do want to discuss with you a moment about the museum and how people can find you and come, as I think it's something that we need to and have to learn about and connect to. We will be back literally in about 1 minute or 2 minutes.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch Tor Beit Ji. We are back, and right before the break I asked Avner Franklin, who is from the Gush Katif Museum, to stay with us for just a bit longer. I know we have to move on. However, as I'm speaking to Avner, I could see the museum, I think, in the background, and I see a variety of different people from all walks of life, different communities, different people. Everybody looks different, and it looks like the museum has gotten quite a variety of people, which is beautiful to see that these days people are coming together to remember and commemorate. So I know a bit about the museum, where it's located, yeah, where people can come and see the experience you offer, etc.
Okay, the museum is located at Shaare Tzedek number 5. That's near Machane Yehuda in Jerusalem, and we are open basically from 10 till 6 every day. On Shabbat, Erev Shabbat, we open from about 10 till 2. The museum is full of, we have a lot of pictures of the museum. We had in the museum, we have a lot of exhibits in the museum. We do, every person who comes here, we give them a hadracha, we give them, you know, we lead them through the museum. We have also quite a few videos that we show. And we have a three-dimensional exhibition, which is fantastic for children, which is on the second floor, of the dealing with Bible stories. And someone who comes here, especially at this period of the year, comes in, and it's a sad situation. But our message really is, as you leave, that you should know that we're carrying on living and carrying on going. And we today, that this period of time, we're swamped with a lot of people, and we have a lot of groups coming, a lot of children coming here. We have a lot of tourists coming here, and people who come here, I think, you know, learn what Gush Katif is all about, and can draw the conclusions as to what should, as to what the future should really be for us and for Am Yisrael.
Amen.
And you can book tours, you can come and get my email. You know, there's no problem as far as coming and visiting, and we'd be happy to have everyone coming.
So yeah, that will actually be amazing. And as you said, it's open from Sunday to Friday. Friday a shorter day. I'm assuming Shabbat is actually closed. However, The full week, including Sunday, it would be open. Your email address, if somebody does want to come as a group or come and
the email address is avner.franklin, that's one word, @gmail.com.
Okay. Amazing.
That's my personal email. You can contact me and you can book a tour, or you can just tell us when you're coming, and we'd like to have you. We'd like to tell you the story about Gush Katif.
Which is a story that I honestly believe every Jew should know, or everybody should actually know about and understand and connect and hear. Avner Franklin, thank you so much for being with us today. And we wish that one day all these horrible memories will be able to move on to the actual Geula, and we will be back in the land and back as a nation connected to Hashem and to our roots and be in the right place that we should be. Thank you so much for being with us today. That was Avner Franklin, and another show has come to an end. We've spoken, as I said, with Rabbi Weiss and from the Rabbanut and with Avner. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show with all the technical challenges we had today. Thank you, Sina, for organizing the interviews, like always, having everything organized on spot. And really, the time of, you know, tears and pain should go away, and we should very fast have the merit of reuniting back together as a nation, connected to our roots, connected to God, connected to Hashem. We will be back next week, Monday, 2 to 3, as we do every week. In the meantime, have a meaningful, good fast, and stay safe.